I don't know if anyone's starting to remember this at all. It was a dramatic rescue that happened. There were 12 boys, and probably about the age of some of the children here in the room, and they'd gone out for a great day with their football coach, and they decided that they would go and explore a local cave network. But while they were deep down in the caves, it started raining, and the caves then began to fill up with water. It was a really complex network of caves, and the boys became trapped. So people soon realised what had gone on, and a huge rescue attempt then happened. There was 100 divers involved, 900 police officers, 2,000 government workers, and they were all working really hard to try and rescue the children. But one of the significant things about this rescue, why it was so hard, was because it took place in pitch darkness. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the children? They were there for quite a few days down in the cave, trapped in the darkness on a little ledge that they'd been able to climb up to. In fact, it went on for so long, the rescue, that they started to lose track of what day it was. And they waited in the darkness, not knowing if they would be rescued. But then, a small light became visible in the water. And it came nearer and nearer to them. And then a head came out of the water with a lamp on, and a diver appeared. What a moment for them, for the children. I just wonder what they felt at that point. We're going to have a quick look at this. You watch this and see what happens.
Images everyone hoped but no one expected to see. 12 boys and their soccer coach found alive inside this cave in Thailand.
We are coming, it's okay.
It's okay.
Many people are coming.
Many, many people.
We are the first. Many people come.
The boys, ranging in age from 11 to 16, had been feared dead after they went missing with their 25-year-old soccer coach in the Tam Luang Nang Nong cave in the mountains of northern Thailand. Now the world watched in disbelief at the group, still in their soccer jerseys, huddled together 2 miles inside the caves. Someone in the group asks how long they've been down there.
You have been here 10 days. 10 days. You are very strong. Very strong.
The sound of water and the darkness of the video, an indication of just how far and how deep into the earth the team of English divers had to go to find them. Those divers reassuring them that more help is on the way.
We are happy too.
Thank you so much.
That's quite a story, isn't it? I think it was a slight under-exaggeration to say they were really happy. I mean, it must have been an amazing moment when they saw that light coming into the darkness. It's a really powerful story, isn't it, of being rescued. And the rescue itself was really costly in terms of money and resources and people. And in fact, one diver actually lost their life rescuing the children. And yet, it was worth it. Every child came out alive. And the light shining in the darkness for them, it brought life to the lost boys and it brought them rescue. So there's a picture of them. You can see them all there after they're in hospital. And they all survived. And there's the picture of the diver that gave his life up for them to rescue them during their rescue. But it's an amazing story of light in the darkness, because light's an amazing thing, isn't it? We need it for life on our planet. It brings energy and it brings food. Without light, our planet dies. And you know what? Light always trumps darkness. It always beats darkness. You can't have darkness if light is present. It always wins. And there's also something else that's amazing about light. It brings vision and it brings clarity to us. It helps us to see ourselves and the world around us as we truly are. It shows up our imperfections, but it can also light our path and show us the way. So light's a pretty amazing image, isn't it, for people that wrote the Bible to use this amazing picture of light coming into the darkness. And it's an image that's used a lot in the Bible. We've heard it a few times already this afternoon as we've heard some of the passages. And it's used in the Christmas story, right there in the centre of the Christmas story. But you can go back even further than that. 700 years before Jesus was born, there was a famous prophet called Isaiah. And he spoke about this very human predicament of experiencing darkness, what it feels like to be in darkness. And the people of his time, they had a lot of uncertainty. There was fear around. There were strong and powerful countries that are going to invade them and bring their armies. There was war potentially going to happen, invasion. There was conspiracy theories around. And people had turned away from God. They'd rebelled against him. Some had got angry towards God. And they followed their own ways. It was a real time of national gloom and distress and anger when Isaiah spoke. And that was the first reading that we had right at the beginning of our service. But don't you think that sounds really like familiar to our ears 3,000 years on? As we stand and we face Christmas this year, Christmas 23, if we strip away all the festivities and the carols and the tinsels, our national experiences and some of our global experiences are very similar, aren't they, to those people all those years ago. I don't know about you, but watching our news feeds can be really hard, can't it, at the moment? It can feel like everything is dark, that we're in darkness. It's around everywhere, in people's actions and their thoughts and their choices and their decisions. And we see it in aggression and oppression. We see it in corrupt systems, darkness, pressure. So what can be done? What can be done about the darkness that surrounds us in our world? Our world, just like those boys trapped in the cave, it's trapped in darkness and it needs rescuing. And it's into this dark, dark situation that Isaiah speaks. He prophesies that there's an antidote coming that's going to take the darkness away. And suddenly their gloom will be lifted. Something's on its way. Something is happening. There's a chink of light coming, Isaiah says. Just like the boys in the cave, there's a light appearing that's going to bring hope and rescue. And that's what Isaiah says, isn't it? We heard it earlier. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. And for those who live in the land of darkness, a light will shine. That's what Isaiah said was going to happen. So I'm just going to light a candle. Just think about that promise that Isaiah gave us. A light shining in the darkness, Isaiah said, is coming. I wonder how the people felt as they heard that promise, as they listened to Isaiah speak to them in all the darkness that surrounded them. I wonder if there was a real sense of anticipation, of hope, of waiting for that light to come. But then let's jump forward 700 years after Isaiah was born. And people start to write about something really important happening. It's right there in the New Testament, and we've heard it again today, about something significant happening. Isaiah had talked about how the light would come into the geographical area of Galilee. That's interesting, isn't it? Because Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but then he went back and worked and lived in that area something significant was happening. People were trying to write and tell people. And in fact, Matthew uses the very same words that Isaiah wrote 800 years later, and he quotes them back to his people at that point. He says, wake up, have a look at what's happening. Do you remember what Isaiah said? The people in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Wake up, have a look and see it. And then another writer, another one, also wrote about it and spoke about it as well. Not just Matthew, but also John. And again, we heard this passage read to us. John says the word, that's Jesus, gave life to everything that was created. And his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. So those early people that wrote about Jesus coming, they knew all about Isaiah's promises and his prophecies. The people of God had waited a long time for this. And they were able to say, the light has come, he's here, and it's Jesus. They knew that it was him. And in fact, Jesus fulfilled so many promises and prophecies that were spoken out hundreds of years before he came. So I'm going to light now. We're going to put some more lights onto our candle. Jesus, the light of the world, coming into our darkness. I wonder what that means for our world as we think about Jesus coming to us this year. What areas need Jesus' light in the world? What about our own lives? Are there parts that feel dark that need the light of Jesus? How about our families? How about our communities? Jesus, the light of the world, has come, bringing light into the darkness. What a fantastic story. What a fantastic truth of Jesus coming to us, a world that needs him. And that's why Christmas is so important to Christians every year, because we remember Jesus coming into our world. And the world desperately needed him to come. The Bible is quite clear about some of the mess that we've made of the world. You want to just pop on a little bit for me? There's those verses from Matthew and from John that I spoke about. And then our final slide here. Because the Bible tells us that God made a world that was really beautiful. It was full of light and flourishing, and humans walked with him. But then something's happened. Humans broke it. They turned away from God. They chose disobedience. They went over after their own desires, and brokenness entered the world. And we can see that as we look around us now. But that's not the end of the story, is it? The Bible tells us that darkness is not here to stay, because Jesus, the light, has arrived. And it's Jesus who comes into the world to fix all that is broken, and who brings light into the darker areas of all that we know of our experience. So just like the boys in the dark cave, we can choose to sit in the dark, or we can choose to turn towards the light that has arrived, that has come to rescue us. I love this image that we have at Christmas of light and darkness. For me, it helps me really understand about what Christmas is all about. It is about a baby, and it is about presents. It is about celebration, and all those things are good, aren't they? But what we're really celebrating at Christmas is the fact that the light has come into the darkness. The light has arrived. All those promises that were given to God's people hundreds of years ago, they've been fulfilled, and Jesus is here.
And we're people that have extraordinary privilege now because we live in the time of the light. We don't need to wait like the people in Isaiah's time because Jesus has arrived. And it's our choice whether we choose to turn towards the light, to turn away from the darkness in our lives, in the broken world, and turn towards him, to follow him. And then the Bible tells us something amazing. It tells us that we become people who walk in the light. And that's in 1 John. So I pray that each one of us here will just experience that light in their life this Christmas. That this might be the Christmas that you know, where the darkness is dispelled in your life and in around you, and you might know the light in your own life that might change you, that you might make the decision to turn towards the light, away from darkness and the brokenness, towards Jesus. Let me just pause for a moment. I'm just going to pray very briefly for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those promises that were given thousands of years ago about Jesus coming. Thank you for all those people that patiently waited. And thank you that Jesus came into our world to bring light and to banish the darkness. Help us to be people who seek the light, who turn to Christ. We thank you for this amazing present that you've given to us at Christmas. Thank you. Amen.